Well, good morning once again. This is probably the final message regarding from the book of Ephesians, which we started 2 weeks ago or two Sundays ago. And this one is about faith. Faith. I would imagine everybody in this room says they have faith. And what is your faith? What does that mean? Interestingly enough, you know, when we go to the Bible, we say, well, where do I read about faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, everybody, Hebrews chapter 11, that's the faith chapter. That's got all the heroes of faith from starting with Abraham and so on. But did you know that in the book of Ephesians, Paul mentions 10 different times faith. And he mentions them in different contexts. That the faith is multidimensional. There's more than just one thing about faith. If we go to these three verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ. He says something very similar in Ephesians 1:15. He says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people. And then in verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is faith in Christ. This is part of our faith. A gentleman by the name of Greg Gilbert wrote in a book called What is the Gospel? He says, faith in Christ means admitting that we are woefully insufficient and trusting in Christ alone. We basically say, we need you, Lord Jesus. It means, as he continues to write, it means jumping off the edge of the swimming pool and saying, Jesus, catch me. I'm done. I have no other hope. I have no other Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus, or I die. That is having faith in Christ. You know, something about faith that's interesting. Faith gives us an understanding on things that sometimes we don't even see. He gives us faith in understanding things that sometimes to us just doesn't seem to fit just quite right because we need further and deeper explanation. I really like in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, I talked about it already. He says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. He's saying, if we believe in the great creator, the maker of heaven and earth, we believe that he made it in a way we just don't understand. Yes, we can see the material outcome of his creation, but where did it all start? Where was the foundation of all this? And out of faith, we say, no, there is a great creator. There is a great architect of everything that is around us. The thousands and millions of species of animals, birds, vegetation, and so on. It's all there. But it's out of faith we say there was a great creator. And there are many, many authors like Lee Strobel and others who will say they've met with scientists and they're able to prove that there is a great creator. Job, in his in chapters, I think, 32 to 34, asks a whole bunch of questions on how things were created, and man still hasn't answered them. But out of faith, we understand that God is the great creator. The second part of faith, and we rely on it desperately, is in Ephesians 2, chapter 8. And I think everybody has heard this scripture from mentioned in this church many, many times. It says, for it's by grace you've been saved, right? We didn't earn it, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. What's the gift? The gift is the grace that our sins have been paid for. But it takes faith. And that is the faith in Christ, and that is faith in the gift that God has given us, that gift of grace. What an amazing thing when you think about it. It says, by grace we are saved through faith, not by our works. So we believe, if you are in faith, if you have faith, you believe that your sins, and John mentioned it in his prayer today, and so on, that your sins are forgiven, forgotten, and wiped out by grace, not by anything we do. But we have the faith that that is true. There's some other aspects of faith. We live by faith in many different ways. There is the testing of our faith. There is the trusting in our own faith. There is the liberty in our faith, the liberty of being set free. There is the example of our faith when we go through tough times. There is the walk of our faith, how we behave and how we live our lives and how hopefully we live for God's glory and the people around us see that we have a walk of faith. And we have a resilience of faith. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in a minute. But I'd like to read this excerpt of a story that I found. And it's called Faith in Action. Okay? And it's about a man by the name of George Muller. George Muller is from Bristol in England. And I'll just read what this story says. He exemplifies what is called the nitty-gritty of a life of faith. After being quite a wild youth, I guess we all have that, right, in our backgrounds. We have a little bit of a wild youth. That doesn't give us an excuse to have a wild youth, but George Muller had one. I think I did too, and a few others. All right. But after having a wild youth, he was converted in his early 20s. He obeyed God's call by living a life of faith and obedience. He lived in a manner that the world could not fathom. He and his wife sold all of their possessions, founded an orphanage, and lived by faith alone, making their needs and those of the orphans known only to God in prayer. They often faced insurmountable problems that were overcome by faith in God's power. In 1877, George Muller was on board a ship that was stalled off the coast of Newfoundland in a very dense fog. The captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours when Muller came to see him. And Muller told him that he had to be in Quebec City by Saturday afternoon. And the captain replied, "It's impossible." "Very well," said Muller. "If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I've never broken an engagement for 52 years. Let's go down to the chart room and pray." And the captain wondered, what lunatic asylum did George Muller escape from? "Mr. Muller," he said, "do you know how dense the fog is?" And Muller says, "No, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." Now that is faith, okay? Muller knelt down and prayed, simply. And when he had finished, the captain was about to pray. But Muller put his hand on the captain's shoulder and said, Don't pray. First, you don't believe, okay, that he will get rid of the fog. And second, I believe he already has. And there's no need whatsoever for you to pray about it. Now, there's another bit of faith, right? So the captain looked at Muller in amazement. He says, "Captain, I have known my Lord for 52 years, and there's never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the king. Get up, captain, open the door, and you will find that the fog is gone. The captain walked across to the door, opened it, and the fog had lifted. Isn't that an amazing example? And by the way, you know, this was not fiction. This is a true event that did take place. So we're talking about faith, and there was a faith in action. He has a faith in Christ, a faith in his prayers. He had a trusting faith. There's another thing about faith. There's only one. Right? We can put faith in money, we can put faith in all kinds of other things, but there's only one true faith, because there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that faith that we all have brings us united together. It says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, it's not just our faith as individuals, it's our faith collectively as well, right? We are to remain united in faith. So each one of these so far have been found in the book of Ephesians. But there's one more that's, well, there's actually a couple more. But there's one more that I think you're all familiar with. But we should remember it as well, because it's part of how we live our faith. It's in Ephesians chapter 6:16, where we're told to put on the armor of God. And he says, in all of this, take up the shield of faith. So there's the faith in Christ. There is the faith of unity. There is the faith of being given understanding. And now we are told to take up this shield. And we're to take up this shield. Why? Because, as it says, take up the shield with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows or the flaming darts of the evil one. Now, here Paul is actually using a really great example, because a shield in those days was about 4.5 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide. It was made of two layers of wood, and it had a covering over it of leather. And it was there to, obviously, if you were a Roman soldier, to protect the arrows, the spears, and what Paul said were the fiery darts that would come at them. And when they were in battle, it was not unreasonable to see these guys walking around, or soldiers walking around, with these gigantic shields in front of them. And they had all these little fiery darts on stuck in the leather of these shields, sort of like the back of a porcupine, right? All constantly being attacked, constantly being attacked. And the other interesting thing about these shields is they were able to interlock together, side by side. So by interlocking the shields, they were able to build up a wall. And so Paul is using this example that it's not just the shield to protect you, that shield of faith, but when we're interlocked together, our faith as a group protects us as well. You see, we're not in this battle alone. What's the battle that we're in? The battle that Paul is talking about is the battle. It's a war that's going on in this earth today, and it's the war of Satan and evil against Jesus Christ, God, and those who belong to his family. We're in a battle. And he's saying, look, put on this shield. Fiery darts. What are some of the fiery darts that have come in your life? How about the fiery darts of deception? The fiery darts of a trial? The fiery darts of doubt? The fiery darts of sin? the fiery darts of our pride sometimes, the fiery darts of the lies that have been told to us. You see, Satan is constantly throwing those. And that's why this shield is so important, our shield of faith, our faith in Christ, our faith that he will protect us when we call on his name from those fiery darts. We must always be walking with the shield of faith. See, when the soldiers went to war, they didn't just put on their armor for a while and then put it down and then pick back up, or maybe I'll use it later or whatever. No, they put on their armor and they kept it on. And we are to do the same. We are to put on this faith, keep this faith, have this faith that we have been given as a gift to constantly live our lives trusting in God. In Psalm 18, verse 30, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless, and he shields all who take refuge in him." Faith means taking refuge in Christ, putting your burdens on him. And you know what? He wants us to do that. He says, put your burdens on I'm here to give you rest. But you have to have the faith to do it. I sometimes think, you know, we read everything that Paul has written, all the epistles, and he talks about so many different subjects in addition to faith and so on and so forth, and who Christ is, and unity, and battling deception and so on. But here is a man, when you think about what he writes, who went through beatings, shipwrecks, health issues, disappointments. He must have had and does have or did have huge amounts of faith. And he sought refuge in Christ. He sought refuge in Christ. What does it mean to have strong faith? To have strong faith means that we take life and we look at it from a perspective where we can say, look, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the... I'm sorry, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you. Surely he will save us. What the psalmist is writing here is, look to the future. Don't look now. Don't seek the refuge. He will protect you. He cares for you. But our eyes, our faith life, our life of faith is to be looking forward. A life of faith also means that we live for God's glory, not our own. We try to live a pure life. And strong faith comes from our fellowship and our companionship with Jesus Christ. That we talk to him each day and we let him talk to us each day. Because that builds our faith. We are constantly in communication with him. He is constantly in communication with us. When I look at faith and when we read through about faith and some of the commentaries, faith is not just a one-dimensional thing. Yes, it's faith in Christ, but it's also trust. Faith, if you wanted to have a little formula, is faith equals belief plus trust. I can believe in Jesus Christ, but you also have to trust in Christ. We have to be surrendered to Christ. That's what faith is. And there's another thing about faith. Faith, if we just say I trust and I believe, needs one more dimension. Work. See, faith without works doesn't get you anywhere. We need faith plus works. What are the works? The works are how we live. Yes, we trust, but works is also getting out the message of who Christ is, how we get to know him and how we make him known. And faith without works, faith requires works daily, not just once in a while. So faith, we have faith in God's, we have faith through our belief, we have faith through our trust, we have faith through God's word, through our works, and we have faith in God and his will. Those are the things that form faith. There are two quick scriptures left. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. Another part of faith. It says, Tychicus, I hope I pronounced that right, the dear brother and faithful servant. He was a faithful servant, a person who had faith with works in the Lord. Will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus was there to obviously share God's word with other people. And he wanted to, or Paul wanted him to tell, tell the people in Ephesus how Paul was. Don't forget, Paul wrote this epistle from a prison in Rome. And then the last thing he says about faith. Peace to the brothers and sisters and love with faith. Love is the final dimension, if you want to look at it. So when you look at faith, it's belief, it is trust, it is works, it is love. It's how we live our life. It's how we live our life. So with that, I would just like to close this message with prayer. And just say, great God, our Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Because with the faith that we have, we receive your gift of grace, knowing and trusting and believing that we have been forgiven of our sins, that you care for us, that you love us, that we can rest in you, rest in our salvation. We thank you that this faith that Paul writes about in this book of Ephesians, or this epistle, is a faith that is believing, trusting, doing work and serving, and understanding and following you and doing your will as best as we know. Give us that faith. Strengthen our faith. May our faith be strengthened each and every day as we pray, each and every day as we read your word. We just thank you and praise you. And great God, we just put our lives of faith in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.